It reads, "I know a ghost, and we make no apologies. We are a Holy Ghost, full gospel, spirit-filled work."
Amen.
We've been back in 1990, and we are not going backwards. Amen?
Amen.
And so we stand as your pastors, realizing that we're not hiding anything. We're not trying to teach a different message. And I know, as you've seen, we've had new ones come in and so forth. We know what has saved our marriage. We know what's empowered our lives. Back in 1976, when we were infused with the power of the Holy Ghost, we know we got the Holy Ghost and we got saved, but we needed the baptism. We needed the power, and it has not ceased. So I encourage you today. I know you have ears to hear where I'm going today, but I wanted to just lay a foundation. And I thank you, my beloved, who I love even more now than back then. So anyway. In 1906, a black pastor named William Seymour began to see that there was something more that was lacking in the church. And we at Shield of Faith have been involved in a lot of movements of God. And of course, this was a little bit before our time. But this William Seymour began to share and wondered, why were they always skirting Mark 16? Why were they staying away from 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14? And he began to teach in this particular area, and all of a sudden, he began to get hit, and his people got hit with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak in another language. They began to lay hands on the sick. They began to prophesy. And his particular denomination in the church he was in got so scared, they padlocked the church, and they would not allow William Seymour to come back in. He wasn't frustrated. He realized that there are going to be traditionalists. There are going to be religious folks. And he moved into a home and then into a warehouse. And he began to pray. And he had blacks, whites, Hispanics, young and old, hungering, coming from around the world because they heard there's a release of the power of God that's happening in this little area called Azusa Street. And when they got there, they were being filled and they moved all back to wherever they came from. And it's accredited. The Lord changes not. But I'm telling you, religion comes in and stifles the moves of God. And I'm telling you that the church was stagnant for a lot of years. Thank God that they got back in introducing the church to the release of the power called the Holy Ghost, alive and well. And he has not died, nor did the last apostles die off. He is still flowing today. So I encourage you. I know you know that because you go here. And we're not trying to hide anything, but you need to understand. Thank God for William Seymour. Why wouldn't the Holy Ghost use a black, poor man of God, wasn't looking for some position? In fact, they said he didn't even take a title till when he was getting ready to be released to go to heaven, and they called him a bishop. He was not looking to be puffed up. I'm telling you, religion always tries to puff up people, but a relationship lifts up Jesus. Yeah. And as soon as the body of Christ gets a hold of this in this region and in our country, we're going to see a change. Because when I be lifted up, says Jesus, I will draw all men unto me. First, if you'll turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, and I want to answer a question that many people ask me, and I want you to understand. They say, "Pastor, what version of all the translations do you use?" I use a version that's close. It's King James without the these and the thous. It's called the New King James. But it's not just the New King James. It's the Spirit-filled Life Bible. And the reason why I use this, because in the front of it, there are 22 men and women that I esteemed as a multitude of counsel. And there are 22 in here that they use, they call it contributors. So I'm not just myself diagnosing it, I'm getting encouragement. The Bible says in a multitude of counsel, there's safety. A wise man surrounds himself with wise counsel. I choose this version, number one, because they are Spirit-filled believers, and these are some of them that contributed, and some of you might know them. So let me start out. and read down through, not all 22 of them, but let me just touch on a few of these. Some of you may know Marilyn Hickey. Some of you may know Jack Hayford. Some of you may know Roy Hicks. Some of you may know Larry Lee. Our first ministry that we subjected ourselves was Larry Lee because he was big in prayer. We haven't stopped being big in prayer. Larry Lee was set up on the Lord's Prayer. We took that to get founded and grounded because we believe a church that's grounded in prayer will survive. Then we got Dick Mills. Some of you know who Dick Mills is. Fred Price is up in heaven now. Oral Roberts, he's up in heaven. Pat Robertson, James Robertson, Demo Shakarian, hit the full gospel businessmen by storm. Charles Simpson, and numerous other ones. I encourage, why we try to get people into Bible studies and groups is because as lone rangers, you can be a target and not even realize it, and you get in a ditch. You need to bounce off whatever you get with others so that you get a clarity and you get a strong truth. I had you turn to Romans chapter 12. And I do welcome the Facebook crowd in today. We welcome you from far and near, and we thank you, Jesus, for each and every one that's tuned us in today. I need to lay down a scripture so you understand. You're so grounded and founded that most of this you already know. But the Bible says in verse 1, I encourage you, therefore, believers, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but get transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Everybody look at me. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anybody be in Christ, they're what? They're a new creation. Let me ask you. Man himself is made up of how many parts? Three parts. We know it's the soulish realm, mind, will, and emotions. We know it's the spirit, the real us. And we know we have this earth suit called the body. Without this earth suit, we're not here. Well, without this brain, we're not here. What, when it says you become a new creation, what became new when you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Your spirit welcomed the Holy Ghost and you came alive. If you were skinny, fat, tall, young, or old when you came in, you still were skinny, tall, fat, old, or young. It did not change your earth suit. Your mind had only been changed till you became a believer. Now, let me just tell you why I also love to be as close to the King James as possible. Because when I study the word, I realize that the original manuscripts were written in Hebrew and Greek. And when I study the word in preparation for today, I go back into those to find out what word was used. Let me give you an example. Some of you know the word believe in English. When you look at the word believe in the actual Greek, it says pistachio. Pistachio means cling to, adhere to, rely on the Lord. It's a whole lot more than just believe. But if we only look at the English, we say, well, just believe on the Lord, you'll be saved. You know the devil believes in the Lord. But he isn't clinging to, adhering to, trusting in the Lord. And so we have to understand, that's why. I've got a concordance and a Strong's, and it goes to King James. I got a Vines dictionary of New Testament words, and they use the King James. Now, do I believe the Holy Ghost can move in all the versions? Of course I do. But you got to realize, I'm responsible when I come and preach Sundays to give you the closest thing to the beauty of an undefiled Word of God. Because the Word says I'm held double accountable. If I teach you something, I'm in trouble. That's not scriptural. I'll be held accountable. I believe all of us need to be smart. So we look at this. Verse 3 then, after we realize this, it says, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, he's talking to the Roman Christians, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly as God has dealt to each believer a measure of faith. Everybody look at me. Do you know that in religion, it's a pecking order to get to the top? Do you know that it's been conveyed for years that the big shots on the top, the pastors, evangelists, prophets, apostles, they're the real anointed ones? Do you know that's not scriptural? The Bible says this in 1 John, we all have anointing. We all have a Holy Ghost. And we need not anybody teach us but the Holy Ghost. So we use, like a pastor today, to share things to stir you up so that you learn. Amen. But I'm telling you, when this gets broken in the church and we quit lifting up men and women and telling us by all the titles they have and we lift up Jesus, we're going to see a revival like we've never encountered. I thought we learned that our God is a jealous God and he's not going to share with anybody. And yet in religion, we make it sound, you got to get them to this meeting or that meeting because they're powerful. I'm here to tell you, if you're saved, you're powerful. Right. You got the same Holy Ghost. You don't have a baby one. You don't have an insignificant one. You got the real one. And so, for as we have many members in one body, verse 4, all members do not have the same function. You're not up here today. You didn't greet people at the door. You didn't pass out things. You weren't on the worship team. Do you understand? One body, but we got different functions. But we have the same Holy Ghost. So we being many are one body in Christ, individual members of one another. Verse 6, we have gifts that differ according to the unmerited favor that is given to us. Let us use them. They're not just freely given, but it's up to us to use what we have freely been given. And then it goes on, prophecy, in proportion to your faith. Ministry, let us use it in our ministering. Teaches, so that we can do it in our teaching. Exhortation, as we exhort people. If we are givers, do it liberally, with diligence. He who shows mercy, do it cheerfully. Now look at me, church. I know Sister Lynn went through this, and I know that we are driven more by maybe a motivational gift in this area or whatever. I'm here to tell you, you have all those things in you. And when it says prophesy according to your level of faith, that's why when you have people bring a prophetic word, it doesn't sound always so polished and using the big words, because they're operating through what was given them. And we sort through and get the interpretation. But I say all that because Paul was trying to straighten out and encouraging that you all have giftings for the church. Amen? So, when we look at this, we need to understand something. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let me just, again, because I love this version of the Bible. Every chapter in this Spirit-filled life, New King James Version, helps me in my preparation and study because it puts it into context of what I can see and learn. For example, let me just take the categories that they give us, and it's always at the start of every chapter, which helps me understand when I'm getting ready to preach, is this going to be helpful? And this is what it says. And again, from all 22 people speaking into it, it says the author. The authenticity of 1 Corinthians has never seriously been challenged in style or language and theology. The letter belongs to Paul. How many believe it belongs to Paul? Yes. And so all the scholars studied that. What's the purpose of this 1 Corinthians? It's a pastoral letter written to resolve doctrinal and practical problems within the local church. Now, you've heard me say the Corinthian church was pretty carnal. I'm telling you today, the current church is pretty carnal. And if we're going to get through and be the mighty men and women of God, we have got to rightly divide the word of truth. Here's the background. Gross sexual immorality was going rampant in the church. There was no guidelines anymore. Oh, whatever happens, I'm free. I just do anything and everything. We realize, as we learn from a great communion, there are a lot of promises, but we can open the door for some things we don't need to open the door to. There are rights and wrongs, and we do reap what we sow. Then it goes into personal application. No epistle in the New Testament will give a clearer insight into the life of the first century church than 1 Corinthians. straightforward instructions for such moral and theological problems that they were dealing with. So I think, wow, there's some good stuff in there for current situations. Then it goes down and says, Christ revealed. It says, the letter contains an unmatched revelation of the cross of Christ as a counter to all human boasting. Our example and our behavior is laid out. Paul was taken into consideration. It's very important that we understand, especially to a messed up bunch. And here's the Holy Spirit work. In every chapter, they do the same thing they go through, so you can see it being magnified in every area. The manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Ghost make up the best known passages about the Holy Ghost found in chapters 12 through 14. We should not overlook the role of the Holy Ghost. You heard me say, I was raised, I never even heard much other than I know there was a spirit, but nobody taught me. Thank God they didn't teach me against the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is revealing the things of God to the human spirit in a way that prevents all grounds for pride. Perhaps most illuminating and current debate in the church at large is the way the apostle leads the Corinthians into a balanced employment of speaking with tongues, affirming this practice, and refusing any the right to prohibit it. Why is there such a fight to stop the gifts in the church? What is there that's damaging, that's hurting people from speaking in tongues? Why is there, oh my gosh, why when I'm invited to go places, whatever you do, don't go into the Holy Ghost stuff. Why is that so threatening? You know why? Because the devil hates us to operate in the gifts of the Holy Ghost, because greater is the one that's in us than the force of hell that's against us. I say all that to lay a foundation as you turn to 1 Corinthians 14. It's been a long time since I just went through a whole chapter, but I was stirred because now you that are watching and commenting on Facebook, I'm not on Facebook, but when I do minister, whether it's my wife or Pastor Mike, they share the comments that come my way. And what I use that for is to tell me, there either needs to be more clarity or I didn't get my points across. And this was the comment out of 36 comments that came. And this is not to put down somebody, but this is to tell you how I get stirred. I sometimes get stirred in men's group. Oh, my gosh, I got to preach on that. I may be in the shower. Oh, because the role of a pastor is to make you more knowledgeable on the things of God. And this said, isn't it interesting that Paul said that we should desire to prophesy and thus edify the church more than speak in tongues? Now, I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but that's a very clear point we need to take a look at. So please go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and look with me as I start with verse 1 and help me as we go through this, because some of you new folks, you've probably never gone into 1 Corinthians 14. You probably stayed away from it, or you heard the old story, oh, that's of the devil. Don't get into that. That's scary. That's spooky. Just like William Seymour. Lock and pad up the church. I'm here to tell you it's the most liberating, power-filling, operating that you can understand is this power within to be a blessing. First verse, chapter 14, and please, I wish you all had your Bibles so you could underline and highlight. I know you got your phones, and maybe you can do it in there. Verse 1 says, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, before I go any further, let me tell you, I looked it up in Greek, because remember 2 weeks ago I told you tongues, glossa, in the Greek and in vines, glossa for tongues was speaking a supernatural language that you did not learn. Prophecy or prophesying is speaking under inspiration. I'm believing this morning I'm speaking under inspiration. I'm believing because I believe that when Adam shared communion, he shared that word under inspiration. And I believe within the words that came and people flowed, they were sharing things under inspiration. Don't make it scary. You got the Holy Ghost. You got God himself inside you. And he wants to flow out of you. So, Pursue, especially that you may prophesy, especially that you may speak under inspiration. How many think the Holy Ghost would want us to speak under inspiration? How many think Jesus would like us to speak under inspiration? Verse 2, it says, "For he who speaks in a supernatural language that they did not learn," and yours may say tongues, but I'm trying to help you here. It says, "does not speak to men, but you're speaking to God. No one understands him, however, in the spirit." What did you tell me got changed and became brand new when you got saved? Your spirit became born again. So, however, in the spirit, they are speaking ministries. Mystery. "But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men." So when you share and what you heard through right now, hopefully, and you heard from Adam, and you heard, that's a speaking under inspiration. "He who speaks in tongues will edify himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." How many in here don't want to be edified? Then don't speak in tongues. How many want to edify the church? Then prophesy. Do you understand? It's not either or. They're both good. They're both gifts. Verse 5. Here's Paul. "I wish you all spoke with tongues." Would you think he's saying it's of the devil if he wanted everybody to speak in tongues? "I wish you all spoke in tongues, but even more than you prophesied." Listen, he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, and it doesn't end, unless indeed the person that speaks in tongues interprets that the church can receive edification. When I come on a Sunday, church, I'm coming to be used to edify you. If I got up here and prayed in my prayer language, my tongues, you're going to think I'm nuts. You're not understanding. It's no man understands him. But when I do, I'm building up my most holy faith, and you can't take that away from me because I need to be built up. Especially the hell we've gone through, whether it's the pandemic or the election. Thank God we can stay stirred and excited. Michael Barnes, yes. Verse 6, "Now, brethren," or believers, "if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without, whether it's a flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sound, how will we know what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise, unless you utter by a tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air." When you speak in tongues, you're not speaking for the men's benefits. It's edifying to God. Let me ask you that. If you were in the military, let's just say we had an instrument. All it did was just go on and on and on. Unless it got distinct. When I went to bed, I think they called it taps. There would be a distinct, oh, that means we go to bed, lights out. In the morning, there was a different sound. It was revelry, and it was like, oh, wake up, we got to go. Oh, my gosh, I got to get out and get in line. So if it didn't have that distinct, how would we know what to do? How would we, in all the movies I loved, when they were outnumbered, and all of a sudden you hear, dun 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 dun, it's charge. You know, we're coming to help you, charge. And all it's saying is, if you just, you instruments up here, all you did was hit the same key, it doesn't tell us anything. But it does when it's distinct and we sing the anointed, inspired songs that we sing. Verse 10, "There are, if you may be, many kinds of language in the world. None of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he will speak will be a foreigner to me." Look at me, church. Do you know that I, your pastor, has been on missionary trips? I remember ministering in a church of 5,000 Brazilians, way out in the boonies. I don't even know how we got there. We took a couple people with us. Guess what? I didn't get up and speak that whole thing in English and just went on and on and on. I had a what? An interpreter that spoke Portuguese. So I would give my lines. They would reiterate it. Ah, and the people were excited because they understood what I was saying. Yeah. Do you understand? If I get up here and just talk in something you don't understand, you're not going to understand it. But it doesn't take away of the significance of building yourself up. Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Our whole mission when we come on Sundays is to build up and edify the church. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that they may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. What got changed, brand new? So the brand new part prays, but your understanding, which is your what? Mind, will, and emotion is unfruitful. It's not for your mind. It's not for your physical body. It's for the spirit. If I pray in the tongues, my spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful. What's the conclusion then? I will pray with an unknown language that I did not learn, and I will also pray with the inspired words called understanding. I will sing, which we did a little bit, not blasting out in our prayer language, and I will sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, which is the real you, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say, Amen? At your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say, for you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edifying. And look at the one he puts us in here so people don't get scared away. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. And he doesn't stop there. Yet in church, I would rather speak 5 words with the understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in tongues. Now, practicality. I just come in, and if I get up here and I go on, and I think, I'm not going to say this for sure, but I probably pray in tongues maybe more than any of you in here, because my wife knows all the time I'm off in the spirit. That's just it. But when I'm in church, I would rather speak 10,000 words that you understood than to get up here and talk in my prayer language. How in the world would you learn or even know, because no man understands it? In a spirit, you're uttering mysteries to God. Do you understand why I don't get up front and teach you in tongues? Unless somebody wants to interpret. I thank God I speak with tongues, but in church I'd rather speak 10,000 words in. Verse 20, believers, do not be children in your understanding. However, in malice you'll be babes, but in understanding you will be mature. I'm trying to give you an inspiration to grow us up. We want strong bodies. We know what produces strong bodies is the Word of God and also the principles of the Word of God. In the law it's written, with men of other tongues and stammering lips, I will talk to my people, and yet they would not hear me. That's right out of Isaiah. Because they don't understand it. Therefore, tongues, here you go. This is why it's so key. Tongues are a sign not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. Prophesying is not for the unbelievers, but for those who believe. For example, you've heard me share. I went to a church service. I never was taught on it, and I heard somebody speak out in tongues. I was not a believer in tongues. I never even was taught on that. And halfway back to Hemlock, where we lived, I said, wow. I leaned over her in the church and said, we're the only two normal people in this church, 600 people probably in it. But it drew me. There was something about it that was not natural. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't even know what the interpretation was, because that was for the believers. But I did key in. And I'm telling you, church, there's something significant. When somebody in a church service blurts out in tongues, I know there's going to be an interpretation. You know why? Because if it's going to benefit all, for the unbeliever, if there's a tongues, I know there's somebody in here that doesn't believe. And it's going to, whoa. But I know we got a lot of believers that are going to get the interpretation and they're going to get strengthened. And they're going to understand. What verse, honey? 21. Come on now, you're messing with me. 23, thank you, Pastor Randy. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place, that's what we do here, and all of us are speaking in tongues, and there comes in somebody that's uninformed or they're an unbeliever, will he not say that you are out of your mind? If all we did when you came in and we greeted each other, we just all went in our prayer language, those that have it, and an unbeliever, somebody come in, they'd be saying, get me out of here. I remember one time we were using our matas up here, and somebody came in, and it was a believer. I knew him, and they said, oh, let's get out of here. Next thing, they're going to be bringing out the snakes. They didn't realize matas were rods, and they have significance, and there's tribes that use it to drive off the forces of darkness to lift up Jesus. But if you're just going, well, I religiously wasn't taught that, it must be of the devil. I remember first getting into the things of God, and they said, oh, watch those drummers. There's a Brundy, what's it called? Brundy beat. It's demonic. And so I'm thinking, gosh, we're looking to free people, and now everybody's got a demon, and everybody's you better get rid of this. I'm thinking, who the Son sets free is free indeed. What verse, Pastor Randy? You keep me on.
Halfway through 23.
Uninformed or unbeliever, they will say, you're out of your mind. But if all prophesy, an unbeliever or uninformed person comes in and is convinced by all, he's convicted. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. How many times have I come up here and says, does anybody have an inspired word? And I've told you, you all can, because it says you all can. But we don't have time for all, but we do have time for a few. And what I always challenge the few is to encourage those that normally don't do that. Because if you always count on the same ones, you elevate the same ones thinking they're the only ones that can flow in it when we all can.
Amen.
I can give prophetic words. I can give tongues if it's needed. But it's not a one-man show. It's a body of Christ show.
Amen.
It's edifying the church, raising up believers to see that when they leave this building, they go into their community and they should be a blessing in their communities. Because the Holy Ghost goes with them. Verse 26, my caption says order in church meetings. How is it, brethren or believers? Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, which you call worship. You all have a teaching. You all have a tongue. That's why I'm saying every believer can speak in tongues. The only reason they don't is because the head tells them they can't. The spirit says yes. The head says, I don't understand it. It's not for your understanding. Thank you, Jackie. If anybody speaks in a tongue, here we go, in a church service, let it be two or at most three, each in turn, and let it be interpreted. Is this saying anything that tongues is important in church? No. Verse 28. If there's no one to interpret, listen, let him or her keep silent in church and let them speak to themselves and to God. That's why we shift into our prayer language, not blasting it out. And now I'm communicating, building up, edifying, and no man understands it, but the Holy Ghost does. I'm speaking to God. So if there's nobody, we get still, but it doesn't mean I stop. I got on some of my Pentecostal brothers in the pastor's prayer, and they were, oh, we got to blast our prayer language out. And I think, why do you have to? Our evangelical brothers and sisters don't understand that. It's not a spirituality thing. Teachings, well, if you don't get baptized in the Holy Ghost with speaking in tongues, you're not going to make it to heaven. You're like the first five virgins that didn't have their lamps filled. Nonsense! If Jesus Christ is your Lord, you're going. And those are our brothers and sisters. That's why I'm saying, not everybody belongs here, but I love everybody. If this is frustrating, and you know some of you, I went out and checked with you, and I said, are you okay? Because I'm sharing things you probably never heard of, because I love you all. I think this is the greatest thing since pumpkin pie, even greater than pumpkin pie. But I'm not naive. I tell Pastor Mike, not everybody can fit here. Why? Because this signs follow believers. If you don't believe in it, then you're not going to have it. And why frustrate yourself? Why sit and pick apart something you don't want in your own life? Someone came here, and it's not important who it was, and says, Pastor, I only go for King James Version. I said, well, that's a good version. Yeah, but you're not just using King James. I said, well, that's okay. There are a lot of good churches that even advertise King James only version. Why don't you go there? Well, they don't have the freedom you got. And I'm thinking, you want your cake and eat it too? Then if you enjoy the freedom that you have here, we're not going to use just one version, because you know what? We can find errors in that. Someone says, oh no, it's a perfect. No, I'm telling you, it was translated in the 1600s when King James was. There was a whole lot of years they didn't have it. How did things go on without? I love King James, but I love the Amplified. I love the Message. I believe God is bigger than that. And if a version can make you stronger and understand it better, isn't it pretty cool? Why do we want people stumbling? I don't even know what it says, thee, thou, and whatever. If that's your cup of tea, it is easier to memorize King James. And most of the scriptures, that's what I memorized it in, because that was easiest. What verse there, Pastor Randy? 29. Let two or three speak, and let the others judge. If any one thing is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy. You can all speak under inspiration. That's a good thing. That all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Look at me, church. We're not talking about the ministry gift prophet. We're talking about all of us that can prophesy is subject to us. If you've been taught, well, when the Holy Ghost hits you, you get knocked down, you can't control it, and you just go off. And that's ridiculous. When I gave my life to Jesus, nothing controlled my tongue. I said, Jesus, I love you. You're my Lord. When I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, nothing took control of my tongue and made me pray in tongues. No. It's under our release. We can either release it or not. Nobody's going to force you to speak in tongues. No one's going to force you to speak in English. You choose. You choose. Verse 33. I'm rapping, I know. But I felt it was important to go through the whole 14th chapter so those that are on the edge can understand the fullness of what Paul was trying to get across. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Now listen, Paul's ministering to one church. There are a lot of other churches he loves, but they're probably not at the same place. Is this church better than other churches? Now, I know we'll say this is the greatest thing. This is the greatest church. I love this church. But I'm not naive. There's a lot of good churches in this valley. Some of you came from good churches. This isn't a shield of faith here and wherever you came from here. No. But this is who we are. We give a lot of space. We're transparent. You're going to know what we're thinking because we're not going to hide. So if someone gets mad because Pastor Mike is hard in the area of who to vote for, that's okay. That's who we are.
Amen.
So don't get mad at him. Get mad at me. God is not the author of confusion. Are we blessed with Pastor Mike or what? He gives the inspired word of God, just like Adam did today and so many others, the ones that shared. Go down to 37. I'm not going to go into the women thing right now.
That's for me next week.
Yeah, that's Pastor Mike will tell all you ladies to keep silent. No. Verse 37. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or prophetic or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. In other words, if you got ears to hear, let you acknowledge what Pastor is sharing. Those are words from the Lord. Those are inspired words. He's not taking it out of context. But if anyone is ignorant, let him stay ignorant. And Paul's not trying to say that to be critical, but he's just saying if they don't want to believe, don't try to convince anybody. There are places out there, I'm telling you, some of my best friends out there teach against it, and I still love them. And they love us because it's not about Shield of Faith has all the ducks in a row. Therefore, believers, verse 39, desire earnestly to prophesy. So if you're not, I'm encouraging you. And do not forbid anyone from speaking in tongues. There are things that are teaching. Don't do it. I'm telling you, you be smart. You look it up. You look up the glossa. You look up the prophetic word, and you're going to get the same conclusion I got. But let all things be done decently in order. In other words, we come to church, and we do have some order. I remember I had a ministry one time here and said, Pastor, yeah, I was telling people they can come to Shield of Faith, anything and everything goes. I says, that's not true. Anything and everything doesn't go. There's order. It just doesn't look like it a lot of times. Seriously. We don't always know what's coming, but do you want the same? Do you want us to put the songs up on the wall? And I hate to even share that because I'm not trying to criticize where you come from, but I'm telling you, this is who we are. I forget who I told, but I'm easy to like. I'm not hard to like. And I give people all kinds of space. Believe what you want to believe, but this is who we are. Yeah. I was at a meeting, and I want to share an attitude as I close up today because I know I'm going a little bit extra, but I wanted to go through all 40 of those. This was a pastor. It was a pastor, a lover of God. It was from a traditional congregation that didn't teach on the gifts. And he would come regularly to our pastor's prayer, and we would pray. And then we had what we called a weekend summit, where about 15 of us pastors got together for a weekend. And all we did, it was all guys, all we did was pray and worship and pray for our city and believe God. And we would sleep. It was a Camp Luexi. I don't know if you know where that's at. It's a Lutheran campground we'd rent. Well, at night, when we would be breaking up, most would go into the cafeteria. And what they would do is they'd talk, and they're excited because you're with your brothers. This pastor says, Pastor, I want to talk to you. I says, okay. He says, you're the first pastor that doesn't make me feel less that I don't speak in tongues. But I want to know about it. And I shared, just like I'm sharing with you, and I took him through the scriptures. And I said, brother, do you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence? I know you got the Holy Ghost. He says, I want it. No influence, not his congregation, not the other pastors. And I began to pray for him, and he got hit hard. And he got his prayer language right off, and he got drunk in the spirit. I know some people get scared to that. He was laughing and spewing and speaking in tongues. I says, bro, we got to go in and have some refreshments. He walked in. He was still moving around. And somebody told me, well, you're going to know now. They said, he's a Bapticostal. And I hadn't heard that term, but I understood. He got in. He would come with me. He says, Pastor, I feel like in the pulpit now when the worship, I feel like raising my hands. I says, brother, you're not to blow your congregation away. Go slow. You're in there because you can make a difference. But if you go in there now and you try to get everybody to get what you got, it doesn't work that way. You got to realize, just had another brother, another denominational pastor, and we had Tim Hortons after another Bible study. And this pastor wanted to know about the Holy Ghost, so I took him out back in the parking lot, the one down there on Michigan, way over there close to. And I took him through it. He says, I want it. I prayed. And it was cool. Just this last prayer, Pastor Mike, this was before him, he opened up to the other pastors, and he says, oh, my gosh, I need to tell you guys, I ran out of how to pray. I thank God for Romans 8:26, so we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit does. He says, I went into the Spirit, and I'm thinking, just smiling, thinking, yes, we don't always know, and when we're dealing with it, and here again, am I expecting him to go liberate his whole body? No, but I'm telling you, one life at a time. Well, our role is to, why are you excited? We had a couple there that got into politics with us, and they were from a particular thing. They says, we're always praying for the power, and you and PK are living it. I'm telling you, we should be living it. It's a powerful dimension that God is not dead. He's alive. And I encourage you, church, please don't have an attitude that goes when you do pray in the Holy Spirit. It's not to blast people, let them know how spiritual you are. It's just in your time to build yourself up and encourage yourself. you're not operating in it, don't wait for, oh, I got to get in some. You can do it in the quiet of your, just like I did in my bedroom. I'm waiting to get knocked over 6 chairs. Didn't happen that way. I just realized the Bible says they spoke, the Spirit gave it utterance. All right, I don't understand it. And so I went. Oh, my gosh. Now, I want to tell you all the next day, oh, yes. Most everybody thinks the next day, I'm just making this up. Or they're thinking, I didn't see any results. I'm telling you what, you're not God. He's God. You just keep praying and you keep letting the Holy Ghost do what he wants to do and keep yourself on fire. And I encourage you that are listening in today. First of all, we always like to give you an invitation. This will be really far-fetched if you've not made Jesus Christ your Lord. But if you have made Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you haven't, ask him to come in. Say, I need you, Jesus. I believe. I want to trust and cling to, adhere to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says immediately, you get a brand new spirit. And immediately, if you want your prayer language, ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. And then yield it to it. And I encourage people to do it in the privacy. Do it in the car by yourself. Don't be influenced. Your head will always resist what the heart wants to do. Amen? Amen? Let's stand to our feet, church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this body of believers that have filled the house today. We pray, Lord God, that you'll continue to keep us growing, keep us receiving and being all that you've created us to be, Lord. And Father, I do pray that all confusion be bound. The enemy comes to confuse and to manipulate. We bind his influence. We bind the God of this world that's trying to blind us from truth. And we thank you, Jesus, that you that have set us free, we're free indeed. And I pray for everyone that's tuning in that you will continuously get connected to other believers like yourself. Likes attract likes, and it will strengthen your life. And it will cause you to not be a lone ranger out there and getting in the ditch. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. And all of us here in agreement and afar said amen. Amen. Love on one another. Greet one another. If you need prayer, come to the altar.